Still dealing with the eighth commandment, thou shalt not steal. We began a couple weeks ago looking at different forms of theft. There are many more than we can cover or even think of, but there are many. We said last week to be slack in labor, of course, would be a form of theft, that is, taking advantage of an employer. Laziness, I guess politically correct, would be energy challenged, but would be a form of theft. And then we looked at it from the employer's standpoint, taking advantage of someone's ignorance. We left off with the one who knowingly partners with a thief is guilty of stealing. Even if that person themselves are not doing the actual stealing, if they are partnering with someone who is knowingly, we put the emphasis on knowingly, then of course they are guilty. In Proverbs chapter 29, Proverbs chapter 29, I believe the last time we closed with this verse, verse 24, Proverbs 29, verse 24. Whoso is partner with a thief hateth his own soul. That is, he doesn't help himself. He brings harm to himself. He heareth cursing and bewrayeth it not. Whoso is partner with a thief. So I guess we would have to define to some degree what it is to partner with a thief. The obvious, of course, is to be a willing accomplice or an assistance to a thief. That would make us guilty. There are many ways in which we can become an accomplice. It could be through work. You could work for a company or a boss who is guilty of theft, and you know what's going on, and you partake in that. I believe you're guilty of stealing. That's an accomplice. It's assisting. People will say, "Well, it's my job. I need an income." Yes. That's true. You need an income, but you don't need that income. You don't need income from that individual. And God will provide. A thief, again, can be someone who just seeks dishonest gain. Doesn't necessarily have to go into a store and take something off the shelf and put it in their pocket. It's someone who seeks dishonest gain or gain in a dishonest way. To be an accomplice or assistance to that, again, I believe, makes one guilty of theft. Maybe not to the same degree that the actual thief is guilty, but if we partner, we're still guilty to some degree of theft. To purposely conceal a theft makes us guilty. If we know someone has stolen and we conceal that, then to some degree we have assisted. We have, again, we've become guilty. Leviticus addresses this. Notice in Leviticus chapter 5, And there's Leviticus 5, and we'll just read verse 1. Leviticus 5, verse 1. And if a soul sin, so that's a pretty broad statement, covers everything, hear the voice of swearing, and is a witness, whether he hath seen or known of it, if he do not utter it, then he shall bear his iniquity. Now this, of course, isn't speaking specifically of stealing. It's included. It speaks of a whole range of sin, that which is wrong. So to purposely conceal a theft or dishonest gain is stealing. To knowingly receive stolen goods, or to knowingly profit from stolen goods, is theft. If you buy something and you know that it is stolen, you, again, are guilty. I'm not saying you're guilty to the same degree as the person who stole it, but you have willingly, knowingly received stolen goods. That's stealing. That's a form of stealing. And people can try to justify it in all the ways they want, but you cannot justify it scripturally. You cannot. And you cannot, it of course goes against what the so-called golden rule. Someone steals a piece of property of yours, and someone buys that property knowing that it was stolen from you, you wouldn't appreciate it. And we're to treat others the same. It's wrong on every level. There's no way that you can justify it. In fact, to be safe, if you even think, you may not know for sure this is stolen, but if you even have a suspicion, to me, the wise thing to do is stay away from it. Just stay away from it. So we partner with thieves in where we can partner with thieves in a lot of different ways. That's just some of the ways. The next thing is the one who borrows money from others with no intention to pay it back, that's stealing. That's stealing. I think it was about 2 years ago, a guy up here at Speedway came up to me. I was pumping gas. He said, "Sir, can I borrow $10? I said, "Well, if I lent you $10, I'd have to give you my address, and I'm not comfortable doing that." He said, what in the world are you talking about? I said, "Well, you said borrow. So that means you're going to pay me back. And the only way I see of doing that is for me, and I'm not willing to do that. So no, I will not lend you $10. But people throw that term out. Can I borrow $5 or $10, whatever it is? They don't mean borrow like you and I. They mean, can I have $10? And by the way, I'm not giving it back to you. And to borrow money with no intention to pay it back is stealing. I mean, that's just as much stealing to go into a store and take something off the shelf. Notice in Psalm 37, and if any of you have ever borrowed books from me, this verse is in all my books. But Psalm 37, verse 21 says, "The wicked borroweth and payeth not again. The wicked borroweth and payeth not again." Now realize that, and perhaps we've all done it, we can borrow something from somebody and put it somewhere and forget that that's something different. I guess that would fall in the line of irresponsibility rather than theft. But again, the wicked borroweth and payeth not again. Ecclesiastes chapter 5 and verse 5. Better is it that thou shouldst not vow than thou shouldst vow and not pay. Now, of course, that has a wide range. It can be talking about a lot of different things, but certainly it would apply here. Can you lend me $10? I promise that I will pay you back next Friday. Well, it's better not to make that promise if you're not going to fulfill that promise. And that's true with all promises. Elisha, well, let's turn to 2 Kings chapter 4. 2 Kings chapter 4. And verse 7. We have here the widow woman. Remember, the creditor had come to take her son. Elisha's on the scene. And verse 7 says, "And she came and told the man of God." She went out and borrowed all these vessels. And he said, "Go sell the oil and pay thy debt. And live thou and thy children of the rest." There is an important principle there that most, well, perhaps I shouldn't say most, many in America have no concept of. He says, go sell the oil, pay thy debt, pay thy debt. And there's a specific order. And live thou and thy children of the rest, that is, after you have paid your debt, then you live off the rest. If you live off of what you owe, that's stealing. The order is pay off your debt and then live off the rest. Someone doesn't pay their phone bill for 6 months, but they spend money on other things that they do not need. That is stealing. And then they want someone to help them pay their phone bill. And I understand people perhaps get in a financial difficulty and perhaps cannot pay their phone bill. But don't spend that money on something else. Right. To do that is a form of theft. And that applies to our bills. We're to pay our bills and then we're to live off the rest. You do not borrow money. You do not have a debt, join a bowling league, go here and there for pleasure, and then say, I can't afford such and such. Well, you can afford it. You made bad decisions. But it's worse than a bad decision because it's a form of theft. If that bill is not paid, it becomes theft. Now again, please don't misunderstand me. I understand things can happen where people can't pay their bills and they do the best they can and they don't spend on other things. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about people who have the money to pay the bill, but they take that money and they go out to eat. That's stealing. That's a form of theft. Also, stealing may involve the abuse, and this is very common today, the abuse of so-called legal rights. The laws of the land, and Bible laws did too, but the laws of the land provide certain legal remedies for adverse financial circumstances. But some of these remedies are just legalized theft. That's all it is. These remedies can be abused to the point that it becomes we are stealing. from someone else. Bankruptcy comes to mind. Are you against Christians filing bankruptcy? Depends on your definition. For example, bankruptcy can be a means, and I believe that's what it should be for structuring the payback, and I put emphasis on payback, of debts. To me, that's the Old Testament law. You couldn't pay a debt, so you'd make arrangement. And basically what it came down to, you became a slave. But you made an arrangement to pay off that debt. There were no law. And the debtor, it was up to the one who you owed the money to, it was up to him. He could say, I forgive you of the debt. He could say that. He's the only one who has the authority to do that. If I borrow $10 from Art, Brother Larry doesn't have the authority to say, don't worry about paying Art, I forgive the debt. That's not his authority. Only Art has the authority. If I borrow the money from him, he has the authority to say, I forgive the debt, or to restructure the debt. So much of bankruptcy today is simply a legal pretext for non-payment. And it ought to be for structuring payments. But today it's a legal pretext for non-payment, which is a form of stealing. When it comes to an inability to pay a debt, and it can happen to any one of us, we can go out and buy a car. A month later, we lose our job. Everything in our life falls apart financially. We're in a crisis. But we still have a responsibility. Now, we can't make those payments under current circumstances, so the honest thing to do is to try to negotiate a way to pay off this debt. So net debt negotiation, of course, is a viable solution. The absolute escape of debt is not a biblical solution. It's not a biblical solution. It's a form of stealing. So simply not to pay a debt, I can remember when we were in the delivery business, we had a couple stores go out of business. It was our own stupidity for letting them get behind in their bills, but we never saw a dime of that money. And that's stealing. That's stealing. And some may disagree, but you're going to have a hard time proving it to me from Scripture. But simply not to pay a debt because bankruptcy says you do not have to. Well, the one I owe the debt to has the authority to say whether or not I have to or not. So we have to be careful. It's legal. Well, things can be legal and still not right. And again, I'm not saying that all bankruptcy is wrong, but if it's simply to avoid and to get out of paying debts that you have incurred, I don't see what's right about that. So another form, of course, and we'll get to this next week, is all forms of vandalism. All forms of vandalism is a form of stealing. Because someone has to take the time and the expense to fix it. So that's stealing. It's not just vandalism, it's stealing also. And we'll look at that next week. Let's look to the Lord. Heavenly Father, we do thank you again for the privilege of being in your house. We thank you, Lord, for the devotion. We do thank you, Lord, that you give us guidelines in your word. And we do know, Lord, that they are for our benefit. We know, Lord, that they're for the benefit of all of mankind. Lord, we just pray that you'd help us to appreciate the boundaries that you have set in our lives. Lord, help us to abide by those boundaries, stay within those boundaries. And Lord, we thank you for your commandments that are for our good. And we do pray, Lord, that you'd be with us today. We think of those that are lost. Lord, would you save their souls this day? We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.